Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at AloraModernWellness.com. A lot going on at Mississippi State baseball-wise, but we got to get back to hoops here for just a minute as Mississippi State's transfer days, I think, are coming to an end. Isaac Trotter, 24/7 Sports, the man we love to talk to about college basketball. This first time on the podcast, we had him on the show a few times, and we had to get him on here. And let's just jump right into this group that Mississippi State's brought in. Five guys listed on the website here. Let's start in the backcourt with the guy who I think was the first to commit, Jabari McGee, out of UAB. I love the three-point shooting numbers. Hubbard needs another guy in that backcourt who can provide some real confidence from behind the three-point line. What do you like about McGee?
Yeah, I think he's settled into like their third guard, maybe the first guard that they come off the bench. You know, the three-point shooting definitely stands out. He's a thick guard, 6'1", 205, so I don't think the physicality of the SEC is going to be too much of a problem there. Good eval. I think this is a smart eval, fits with what their system is. I also think he adds a little bit more of like being able to get downhill and get to the rim. Like he 40% of his shots last year were at the rim. He can finish through contact. He's kind of like got some craftiness to his game a bit as well. So I think the three-point shooting, the drives, the defensive upside, I think it makes sense. You know, I don't project him to be a starter, but for a guy to play 18 to 20 minutes off the bench, I think you feel pretty good about what McGee can bring as a vet.
The guy you probably are going to project as a starter is Jaden Epps, coming to Mississippi State from Georgetown. Another good three-point shooting guard, a guy who can run the point for Mississippi State. I thought that was where State ran into some trouble last year, as they put a lot of the responsibility of running the point. The way I put it on the show, Isaac, was they wanted Hubbard to run the offense, but they also wanted to run the offense. He was the offense, and it was difficult for him to run and run through at the same time. Epps gives him a great option there to play at the one, but he can play at the two as well.
No, great point. I think they can do a little bit of both, right? They're both kind of combo guards that are wired to score, and so I'm fascinated to see how they coalesce together defensively. But offensively, I think you're right. I think Epps will make Hubbard's life easier. I think Hubbard can make Epps' life easier, and they can play off each other a little bit in that regard. You know, Epps has not been a super efficient scorer throughout his career. I think that his shot diet has to change a little bit. Getting him to take more catch and shoots, playing him off the ball, I think can help them. But you're right. I think he's going to be a guy that they can also run through some point guard duties. But at the same time, like Epps isn't like that traditional point guard. Like I think he walks on the floor being like, I'm here to get buckets. And so I think that's like kind of what his job is when he steps on the floor. He's like, I'm going to go score. And I think at Mississippi State, they're going to need that second fiddle, like you said, behind Josh Hubbard. It can't be the Josh Hubbard show every single possession. And I think that's where Epps plays into that role a little bit.
Looking at the next guy who can play in the backcourt, can play in the front court, I like the versatility of Amir Ali coming in from Arizona State. Played really well down the stretch for the Sun Devils. Looked like a guy that, you know, can be a double-digit scorer if he's given the right opportunities. How does he fit into what Chris Jans wants to do here?
Yeah, well, he's more talented than maybe some of the guys that are ahead of him on the depth chart, I would say, right now. He's a really talented kid. You know, I think right now I'd probably project Sean Jones to start, but Ali could be a guy that gives them that swing piece at the three, who can really shoot it from three. I think he can play a little bit of small ball four. I don't expect them to do that too much during SEC play with just the athleticism there, but 6'8", can dribble it a little bit. But I think you're really targeting him for what he could be in a couple years. He'd be a guy that I think would be a really good year two transfer breakout type of candidate, where he comes in next year, maybe he's your seventh man, gives you good minutes as a stretch wing who can knock down some jumpers. But that year afterward, with some more added strength and mobility, like we've seen Chris Jans's crew, how good a player development they are, he could be a piece down the road where I think he could develop even to more than just a big shooter. You know what I mean?
It's interesting to hear you discuss that because, today in the transfer portal, we never think about the next season on. But if Ali is the guy who can come in, yeah, you could get a good piece this year, and then by next year, he and Hubbard could be a tremendous 1-2 punch.
Totally. Yeah. And, I think defensively, they can get more out of him as well. Like at times, I think he was out of position at Arizona State. The Arizona State's bigs got hurt. Like he was guarding. Sometimes you'd walk him, he's guarding like a 6'11", 240-pound center. Like that's not his job. Like, so I think now we could see a different level from him when he's getting to guard maybe some of more of those bigger wings. And I think that they're going to need length from that wing spot, especially if they're going to go with Hubbard and Epps. Those are, 5'11" and 6'1", 6'2". You need a big, big wing who can step up defensively. If he's their 3-and-D option that can make threes and guard at a high level, maybe he's your version of RJ Melendez, who was taking some of those bigger assignments defensively last year. I think that would be a pretty strong fit.
If you judge transfer portal winners based off the name of the player signed, Mississippi State would be winning in a cakewalk because Achor Achor is coming to Mississippi State. I was thrilled just from the content perspective of getting to cover a guy named Achor Achor, but his stats are very impressive. He didn't have a great year last year at Kansas State. Some mix-ups there apparently in the portal, and it just didn't go well for him there. But the year before that at Samford, playing for our guy Bucky, who, loves the three ball, and Mississippi State last year didn't have that true stretch four, a guy who could get out there and play physical, but give you a 3-point shooting option. That's what they're hoping from Achor Achor. Can he be that guy?
It's interesting, right? Like this is the fourth guy we've talked about. All four of these guys are plus shooters. Like that's kind of
They
what
had to have that, Isaac, after last year. They had to have that.
they just had to. So you're starting to see like a mentality of what they're trying to look for, of what they prioritize. Now, Achor Achor, at Samford, he was a small ball five. I think at Mississippi State, he probably downshifts into the four. He looks to me like their Keyshawn Murphy replacement. He's a slick athlete. He's got quick feet. I think you can see him doing what Murphy did in those short rolls where he gets in the middle of the floor, hit those little floaters, maybe he can find some passing. I think his passing and playmaking is underrated, and I think they can get more out of him in that regard, adding different levers to what this offense could be. And you're right, like that jumper is so key for him because when he can hit those threes, that sets up those long closeouts. And when he can drive the basketball, someone's flying out at him, and he can drive the basketball, he can finish above the rim with the best of them. He can put his absolute forehead on the rim and throw down some big time dunks. So I think athletically wise, it makes sense. There's some questions there after the Kansas State debacle, but I don't blame Achor Achor for those things. I blame more the roster construction that Kansas State had, kind of compiling six or seven power forwards. I think this makes a lot more sense for him and for Mississippi State as kind of like a post hype sleeper. That's how I would kind of describe Achor Achor to Mississippi State.
A name that hasn't been mentioned yet because he hasn't signed anywhere yet. Mississippi State felt like they were in pretty good shape with Van Allen Lubin. Now we could have rewound the clock a year and it would have been the same thing. State felt like they were in a good position with Van Allen Lubin a year ago. Nobody knows where this guy's going to end up. Just if you want to put a crystal ball in, go ahead and do it right now. Where does he end up?
NC State. I
You think
think
he'll
that's
end up?
kind of where I think that's kind of where it is. We've heard it could be a decision anytime soon, but it's been weird, right? Like
Yeah.
four schools in 4 years bouncing around. I think he would make sense for what Mississippi State would want in that front court. I could see why they like him. I could see why he likes the opportunity that could be there. But no, I think he's heading to NC State.
We shall see. The big man replacement, you mentioned Keyshawn Murphy, and from an offensive standpoint, Murphy was really good last year, but State did not have a true rim protector a season ago. They went out and got one there in Wichita State's Quincy Ballard. I mean, this guy, an old school five in the middle of the paint to give State something that they didn't really have last year, but that they did have 2 years ago when they had Tolu Smith and Jimmy Bell patrolling the paint for them. This is a guy, if you wanted me to describe a Chris Chan's basketball player, I think this is the guy. I think he's going to have a big year in Starkville. What do you think?
I'm hesitant to say this. I think he's my favorite transfer that they've gotten.
Wow.
He's big. He's physical. He's been around. When is this his 6 year of college basketball? He's so strong. He can root out all of the, Florida's going to play a double big lineup. I think Georgia, we could see a double big lineup. Like you're going to need, Kentucky's going to play double bigs like at some times. Like you need these guys. Like you need 6'11", 250 to root them out of the paint, to rebound, to protect the rim. I think Mississippi State's defense got a little bit like they just didn't look like themselves at times
No.
last year, right? They gave up a lot of open threes more than you're kind of used to. They weren't elite at protecting the rim like you thought they could be. I think maybe this addition of Ballard gives them a chance to maybe get back to their, like, maybe a little bit more traditional defensively, where you're playing a deeper drop coverage, you're not letting up shots at the rim as much. And I like him. I think he's a really, really nice addition, a nice fit for what he's going to be. Like, you need gritty, tough role players, and all the other guys, like, maybe there's a little bit more sexy names in here. I think Quincy Ballard, pound for pound, is going to give you exactly what they wanted. I think he's a 25 to 28 minute guy at minimum. And guess what? He doesn't foul. He does not foul. He knows how to defend without fouling, and that's a huge asset.
Yeah, you mentioned it. State's issue last year, they weren't weak. They were weak at the rim, and so they felt like they had to double team a lot. And that's what led to a lot of those open threes, and teams just nailed them at an inordinately high proportion against Mississippi State. I think if you look at this class, Isaac, it really feels like Jan's trying to get back to his roots a little bit. These guys are all plus defenders. He's got some length coming in. He's got some guys that can play physical basketball the way he wants to play it. But as you mentioned, the added bonus of you got some good shooters in here as well.
Yeah, I think you're going to have like your meat and potatoes up front with like, I think just like Amir Ali and Ballard are like different too. Like they complement each other well because they're different type of players. I can see that fit together making sense. It really does kind of come down to how this backcourt coalesces. Because on paper, it's like, oh, Jaden Epps, 16 points a game. Like, let's just put him next to Josh Hubbard, 18, 19 points a game. Like, oh, there's 35. In theory, that sounds good. But I'm curious to see how they could make each other better, how they play together. One ball, is it your turn, my turn? Like, all of those different things. And you have to kind of trust the staff to, you know, kind of put this together at a high level.
All right, let's wrap it up with Hubbard, because that coming back is as big a transfer as you could possibly get. I don't think there was any real fear here in Starkville of him staying in the NBA draft. I mean, at the end of the day, he's 5'10". There's not a lot of 5'10", two guards in the NBA anymore. It's not 1987. But as a college basketball player, he's elite, and he can be that guy for Mississippi State. Is there another step for Josh Hubbard? Can he become even – maybe it's just a more consistent scorer? Is that all he really lacks?
Yeah, I think we kind of know what the deal is with him. You know, I think seeing more from him as a playmaker, continuing his decision-making and improving that regard. But, you know, I'm excited for what the additions that they've added here of playing him off the ball more. I think that they can really weaponize him as those off-movement shooter. You see him come off pin downs and couple screens, and you just see defenders just sort of like freaking out about, like, where's Josh Hubbard at? And I think just refining that decision-making, understanding that, like, hey, I'm going to get two on me at times, like, play out of that. Trust my teammates, trust the system that we're going to create good looks. But you're right. I mean, an addition like Hubbard is better than literally almost any transfer guard that you could have asked for in the portal. This is a great portal class. There's a lot of really good players in there. I think retention and keeping that fresh face there, keeping your alpha, makes life so much easier when you're just like trying to like our pecking order set. Josh is number one. And after that, you settle into behind that. And not many teams can say that in a roster building era where, you know, rosters just totally flip-flop head to toe.
The SEC is going to be a little weaker this year, isn't it?
It is, yeah, a little bit. Now, it's not just because SEC is bad or, like, there's still, like, there's obviously still money. But I just think it's, like, you know, that you lose the COVID seniors and you lose also another senior class that doesn't get that fifth year of eligibility. So right. I think naturally the talent level is going to come down just a tad. These teams are still really good. They just might not be quite as elite. They're, you know, like last year, like Auburn, like, has J.P. Pegues, who doesn't even play for them. And he was like a top 75 transfer and just didn't even play. I don't think that's going to be the type of scenario this year where I think the rosters are a little bit more like, hey, you got seven or eight dudes that you trust, not nine or 10, just because you're losing, you know, two senior classes, so to speak.
Is Hubbard your preseason SEC player of the year?
I mean, he would be in that argument. Let me pull up my roster. So I think you'd probably look.
No, Condon coming back.
Hubbard would be. I'm not super in on Condon as a player here. Boogie Fland from Florida has a chance. Tahad Pettiford, if he comes back to Auburn, I think he'd have a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, Darius Acuff at Arkansas is going to be a freaking stud, the five-star point guard there. But you're right. I think if you're starting an SEC preseason player of the year list, it's Otega Owe. And it's probably Josh Hubbard in that order or flip-flopped as of right now.
I can't wait to get back to hoops so we can have you on the podcast more often, Isaac. Always enjoy talking to you, man. Isaac Trotter, 24/7 Sports, the GOAT for college basketball coverage.
Appreciate you, my man.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.